We easily remember doubting Thomas, right? Today, we heard about doubting John the Baptist. Now, we tend to forget what Thomas went on to do following the resurrection, which was things quite remarkable, but we remember doubting Thomas. John was best known for his dietary habits. Locusts and wild honey. Any of you who know me know how I would feel about locusts and wild honey. Not something I would eat. And his clothing. That was just outrageous. And the way he speaks to the crowds, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Last week he called them a brood of vipers. He's confident in what he says. He's decisive. John was the one we heard last week announcing, "I am not worthy to carry his sandals." So now it's 3 years later. John is in prison, and I can't even begin to imagine, neither can any of you, what that was like. He knew he was going to die. He didn't know he was about to be beheaded, but that's not what we're talking about today. But where does the doubt come from? John shouldn't be doubting, right? If anyone is in the know about Jesus, it should be John the Baptist. John said that he had come to baptize with water, but the one following him would baptize with fire from heaven. So where's the fire? He hadn't even seen anything resembling fire. This was not the Messiah that John expected. And I'm not sure who said this, I didn't catch it, but it is a quote. What John expected in a Messiah was a Rottweiler growling and attacking the sinners of the world. But what he got instead was a golden retriever puppy changing hearts with warmth and affection. No wonder John started asking the question, is this the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? And if John is doubting, where does that leave us? Perhaps Jesus hasn't turned out to be the Messiah that John expected. Perhaps he hasn't turned out to be the Messiah that we expected. We get sick or something happens in our life that leaves us unprepared, and we wonder, who is Jesus? Why would my Savior allow this to happen to me? And sometimes it can be difficult to ask our questions. Might it mean that we're unsure of our faith? Will others treat me differently if I question? Should we be waiting for another? Now, when we ask our questions, either silently in a conversation with God or to another person, it's a way for us to be in relationship with God. Whenever we're learning about anything, we ask questions, right? And learning about our Messiah is a lifelong journey. We don't learn it all in Sunday school or confirmation class, and then that's it. We know all there is to know. Christianity doesn't work that way. And as you know, any relationship that is worth anything, we need to work on. They're not always easy. In this season of Advent, can we imagine taking time away from our bustling about that we get caught up in and take the time to reread the stories of Jesus' deeds and hear his words? What do they say to us? Can we listen to the quiet of our hearts and remember the reason that we celebrate on December 25th? Now, remember, no matter what happens on December 26th, we will probably be seeing Valentine decorations. But as Christians, we know that December 25th is the beginning of the Christmas season, which actually lasts for 12 days. So is this Jesus the one that we're waiting for? Both the Isaiah reading full of joy and the gospel invite us as the church to respond to our baptismal covenant. Jesus' response to John was, go and to the men that came. Jesus' response was, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind received their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. So Jesus sends them on their way back to John because they must all decide for themselves. Jesus doesn't force himself on them. He doesn't force himself on us. And he certainly wasn't going to force himself on John. So how does his answer sit with you? Does it bring peace to your heart? Does it make you anxious as you listen to the news reports that are constant about the climate change, violence, terrorism, intolerance of all kinds? Can we remember as Christians that we must envision a new world order and lend our hearts and our hands in creating the world that God intended this to be? Jesus came to bring love, to be with us in love in all that we say and do. He didn't come to be with the rich and powerful. He came to bring peace to those in need. He spent his time with the outcast heap of humanity. He spent his time with the least and the lost. He concerned himself with the powerlessness. He brought the kingdom of God to the people, assuring them of their place in his kingdom. If we are to respond to the Messiah, we need to be with those same people. Jesus visits those in prison through us when we visit those in prison. Through us, Jesus meets people living by the river and under the bridges as we pray with them, feed them, and clothe them. Through us, Jesus spends time in our social service agencies, caring for those who aren't able to care for themselves. Through us, Jesus is in the classrooms with our children, taking special care of those who sometimes need the most and are the most difficult. Through us, Jesus stands outside Smith & Wesson with the young people as they ask for gun security, gun safety. Through us, Jesus stands on the steps of City Hall asking that immigrants be allowed to come to Springfield. Jesus calls us to take care of this fragile earth, our island home. And Jesus will be here as always, as we celebrate the joy of the Eucharist. But we're then to take that joy out into the world. We can't keep that for ourselves. We have to give it away. Only when we serve in his name will we know the answer to John's question. Are you the one? Amen.